All right. We are back. Separation Nation, filming first podcast in the new year's 2020. Thanks for tuning in, everybody listening. Whether you're on Spotify or iTunes, please subscribe. If you're listening for the first time, go to our YouTube channel, agentsresourcegroup.com. Thank you for all of our listeners. We've had several emails. We've took about 2 weeks off or 1 week. How many weeks did we take off?
Been 2 weeks since we've released a podcast. This holiday slowed us down a little bit. Everybody traveling and gone.
So for the ones of you that have wanted to know where we're at, we are shooting today and should have this released within 2 or 3 days and back for your listening pleasure. So we want to talk about the big, big topic. It is January of a brand new year. We'll talk about New Year's resolutions. Most of the time, New Year's resolutions do not work, but I want to talk about why today, why sometimes they do work, sometimes they don't work. Are New Year's resolutions a good thing? What is the difference in a resolution and goal? We'll cover some of these topics. I got some statistics. We love statistics. Justin has some of the same statistics we look back into, and they were both the same, so they got to be accurate. But 40% of Americans set New Year's resolutions. Now, that is way different than goals. We have a podcast on goals. Encourage you to listen to that along with this one. And we talked about how only 3% of the population worldwide actually write down goals at the beginning of the year. Only 3%. Most of those 3% that actually write those goals down actually follow through and actually continue with those goals. So there's a big difference in writing goals down and just setting New Year's resolutions. A lot of times resolutions are just something that we say to ourselves. We may share with other people. We may not. But most of the time, New Year's resolutions are the same resolutions every single year. And I looked up the top 5 New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to give them to you here in just a minute. But let's hit this statistic first. 40% of Americans actually do set New Year's resolutions. Now, of that 40% that set those New Year's resolutions, only about 40 to 44% of those actually last 6 months, actually follow through for 6 months. 50% of the people that make resolutions will not even make it to January 31st. So that's sad. I guess you could say, this is what I will say. I do commend people for actually making the effort to actually put themselves in a position to where they say, hey, I am going to do better in 2020 or whatever year you're rolling into, if you're listening to this later on. I think it's commendable, but this is what I'll say. The fortune's in the follow through. The results are in the follow through. If you're not going to follow through with it, it's really no good. And we see based on these statistics, most people will not follow through with it. I think the number one reason is simply, I'll say, lack of discipline. But I'll say this, you're not going to change anything in your life until you change yourself. You got to change you. You are the common denominator in your life. The top two things that people want to change, Justin, number one, their health. They either want to lose weight, they want to exercise more. I actually wrote down the top 5 resolutions, and of the top 5, the top one was they wanted to change their diet and health. The second one was they wanted more exercise. The third one, they wanted to actually lose weight. So 1, 2, and 3 of the most popular resolutions have to do with health. And this is what I will say, and I know this is true because I go to the gym. You go to the gym about every day. Aaron, our producer over here, goes to the gym about every day. The gyms are crowded right now. And used to, we'd kind of laugh and say, you know, give it a while, give it a month, give it two. Based on these statistics, give it about 3 weeks and it's going to clear out a lot. And you know, it's something to laugh about, but it's also sad because, you know, the people in the gym need to be in the gym and they need to make it a lifestyle change, need to be in there every day. But it doesn't need to be something that you just say, okay, in 2020, I'm going to get right. I'm going to get my fitness on. I'm going to get devoted and all of that. And you go in for 3 or 4 weeks. You get through that initial soreness. You get through the mundane part of it. And then all of a sudden, after 2 or 3 weeks, your 5-day-a-week turns into 4-day-a-week. Then your 4-day-a-week turns into 3-day-a-week. Then before you know it, you're going 2 days a week. And then you just back off. So I do want to talk about some things to kind of help you in those areas. But I will say this. It's all to do with health and money and how that we're going to do better. Well, the resolution itself is the first step, But that's the easiest part of the whole deal. To say I'm going to do something is the most simple and the easiest part to do it. But to actually follow through and to hold yourself accountable, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Resolutions are ultimately, you know, while a resolution I don't agree is a goal, and basically New Year's resolutions has developed this whole stigma anyhow, because we know people don't follow through with it. You know, and even another statistic I read is that, you know, only about 10% of resolutions make it the entire year, all the way with a complete follow through. And so one reason that is, you know, we've talked about the Chinese bamboo tree before. We're not going to tell the whole story here today. You can Google it, look it up. It's a common thing that a lot of people that are life coaches, success-oriented, business-oriented people talk about. But basically the concept is, you know, it takes 5 years in that particular story of watering this seed to ever see this tree grow. And what it takes is discipline. You have to be disciplined enough to understand that you've got to be able to go at it every day, keep at it when you don't see the results you want to see, knowing that they will come, because it's impossible to continually take massive action and no effort begin to happen. I mean, it's the law of the universe. If you're continually moving and moving and causing friction, something's going to combust eventually. Right. It may not combust overnight, but the more that friction's there, you're going to get into something, and then it's going to explode. You're going to have fire. You're going to have a flame. The energy changes, okay? And so you have to keep on with the mundane energy. You have to keep day-to-day and understand that ultimately what you're talking about, what you're wanting to do, is you're wanting to set a goal. And we've talked about before, we don't, you know, so there's two schools of thought. Some people set realistic goals, you know, and we still believe that you should set unrealistic goals, because at the very least, you're going to end up doing more trying to achieve that huge goal than you would have if you had just set a menial goal of what your mind thinks that you can achieve. But the key is in that discipline is to understand that goals are not a destination, but goals are a journey of behaviors and habits.
There you go.
And so, in other words, if you, let's say you had a goal in the fourth quarter last year in your sales organization to, you know, win the big bonus, to go and do have the biggest, best year you'd ever had that particular year. But let's say in your particular business, in your company lost the main account that it services that brings on an average of, say, 100 new employees a year. Let's say you're in insurance sales, and that was going to be 100 new employees that you, because you've already got that account, that you was going to be able to enroll into a particular insurance product. Well, you may not hit that goal that year, but that don't mean that all the getting up early, all the busting your ass, all the working hard, the staying late, the being willing to do it and go above and beyond is not going to pay off for you in your future. It may not happen by January 31, but it's still going to happen, because it's impossible that, I mean, the fact that you took all that massive effort is still working for your good. And it may not all happen. That's why, again, it's a journey. It's not a destination. Success is in reaching that goal, and just like you want it to happen, is not always going to happen in your timeline. But if you keep going, you may even take a few steps back. You know, we've talked about the entrepreneur's roller coaster. Unfortunately, even though it should always be going up and we always want everything to be moving towards our goals and going up, it does not always happen that way. Anybody that tells you they've never had to come back down or took three steps forward and had to take five back is just absolutely lying, because there's always going to be them times you shouldn't be steadily getting your head bashed in and steadily taking five steps back. But to believe that it's not going to happen and there's this perfect stairway all the way up without anything ever zigzagging, looping on you, is just not real. And so the discipline in knowing that it's going to take some time to reach those goals, because again, a goal's more effective than a resolution, and just having the stick-to-itiveness to take and follow through each and every day, follow through, plowing through those hard days, the days that you take the two steps back, knowing that it is impossible. If you keep moving, you're continually causing friction, and your life's going to blow up just like you want it to if you won't give up.
Well, just, and on that point, I mean, you take the top two subjects or areas people make New Year's resolutions in. Number one, their health, their weight. You know, a lot of people just want to lose weight. Their finances, they want to get out of debt, or they want to be financially free. You think about this. Let's say you're a person that's 40 pounds overweight. Over the last 5 years, you've slowly, gradually got there. Cheeseburger by cheeseburger, slice of pizza by pizza. However you got there, you know.
It's and a compound effect.
And listen, trust me, you're looking at, I mean, I've been there, done that. We were talking about before this, you know. I mean, I've one that has definitely put on weight, lost weight, put it back on, lost it. I can tell you all about that journey. But sometimes you just can't be so hard on yourself. Listen, if it took you 4 years to gain the weight that you've gained, don't think you're going to lose it in 4 weeks. Don't think you're going to lose it in 6 months. If you're getting better daily, better weekly, better monthly, that should be good. Sometimes, and this is going to sound contradictory to a lot of things I've said, but sometimes you got to lower your expectations just a little bit and realize, hey, it took me 4 years to get here. I'm probably not going to get out. I've been going in this direction for 4 years. I'm not going to be able to turn around and come back and get back to where I started 4 years ago in 30 days. It may take you 60 days. It may take you 70 days. See, the thing with health and the thing with fitness and the thing with losing weight, a lot of times when you change your habits, you change your lifestyle, you start working out, the first 5 pounds comes off quick. Sometimes the first 10 pounds comes off quick. Then all of a sudden you hit a plateau and you get into a rut and you have to change things a little bit. But you, at that point is when people stop. Listen, if it takes you, if you're trying to lose 40 pounds and the first 10 pounds comes off in the first month, praise God, that's great. Now it may take you the rest of the year. It might even take you 2 years to get the other 30 pounds off. But so what if you stick with it, stay consistent? So what if it takes you 2 years? That's better than stopping now and never getting there. And, you know, it's kind of like the old saying, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You just got to stick with it. I've heard it said before that most people sorely overestimate where they can get to in 1 year, but super underestimate where they can get to in 10 years. And that's the same thing with business. You know, when you start a new business, you may have all these plans. Give me 12 months, I'll be here. Well, guess what? 12 months in, you might still be where you were 12 months ago. But so what? Stick with it. Give yourself 10 years and see what happens. But learn to stick with it. And that's the thing with these New Year's resolutions we're seeing. And a lot of times with people's goals, they just don't stick with it. Talk about money. I mean, you know, if you're $50,000 in credit card debt, if you're an entrepreneur, that ain't a whole lot of money sometimes. But let's say you're, you know, a single mother and you're $50,000 in credit card debt, how long did it take you to get there? Did it take you 5 years to get there? Did it take you 10 years to get there? If it did, give yourself some time to get out. Start today getting out. Put some effort, put one foot in front of the other, continue to effort, continue to action, and you will see a light at the end of the tunnel, but just don't stop. Keep going. It's the old saying, if you're going through hell, keep on going. And give yourself some time, because if it took you 10 years to get there, don't expect to get out in 1 year. But have the, like Justin said, the stick-to-itiveness to just stay with it and to take a step every single day. You eat an elephant one bite at a time. And so just keep taking bites. You know, one thing I've done, and I started, my wife and I sat down the beginning of this year several days ago, and I did the same thing with my diet. I started back tracking things, getting back to the fundamentals. I got a little app on my phone. I hate it. It's routine. It's mundane. I'll sit in my truck after I eat a meal, and I'll put in my meal. I had steak. I had chicken. I had rice. I had a half a cup of rice. What I put it in, and I track myself, and I hold myself accountable. Do the same thing with my spending. I started back tracking where every penny goes, every dime goes, and hold myself accountable. And I'm going to continue to do that for at least 6 months and probably all year, because if I do that, it holds myself accountable. And it's just something mundane and ritualistic. But if I'll do it every single day, track every meal, track every dollar, it's kind of like the Instagram post I put up this week. If you don't track it, you can't stack it. And that's, you know, the thing with our money. Most of these New Year's resolutions about saving more money, or this year I want to save more money, or this year I want to get out of debt. Well, listen, that's admirable to want to save more money, but how much more money do you want to save? How specific are you going to get with it? But be specific and track it. Track every penny, track every pound. And if you'll do that, you'll hold yourself accountable. You'll be much, much more likely to last the entire year.
And here's one thing people do a lot too. They put their shoulds over their value. Shoulds come from societal pressure. In other words, shoulds are, you know, I should drink less this year, alcohol, if that's a thing with you, than I drank last year. Or I should go work out, should go to the gym more, or I should be better with my money, or I should start that new. You got to make sure that you're basing your life off of what your values are as a person, as opposed to what societal pressure. Shoulds are you just doing something. In other words, we take shoulds and we build a belief system around it based on what we think other people are doing and what we should do. When you base it on values, are neither good nor bad. They just are. They're your values. And when you look at your values, you'll find in a lot of times that you're already believing in a way that aligns with your goals. You just got to take action and move towards those. So that's a big deal. Societal pressure plays a lot into the whole New Year's resolution thing and what you should do and you shouldn't do and all that stuff. There's no weight. There's nothing that's weighty, that's meaningful behind the shoulds. It's just societal fluff. And so make sure that you're elevating your values, you know. And I mean, it really, a lot of the stuff, and I've said it before, I mean, it's just the basics. I mean, keep it simple, stupid, like we like to say. I mean, you're going to hear through this podcast a lot of the same, you know, every few shows, you're going to hear some of the same basic principles that will continue to come up as a theme, or as we say, separators, that separate achievers from people that are not achieving on a level that they need to, that are just living a mundane, mediocre life. And the reason those things keep coming up is because they're the foundation. They're the core basis. This thing isn't super sexy. It isn't super fancy. It's just doing the simple things and being consistent with those simple things. And simply put, you take a bad habit and you replace it with a good habit. And you don't necessarily try to tackle 10 of them at one time. If food's a big deal for you, you know, you don't want to tackle maybe necessarily a financial goal and all 10 others at a time. If you're new to really being intentional about bringing change to your life, if you're a person like we've talked about before, that's kind of just done the zombie thing, done life, and, you know, you get up, you went to school, you start a job, you come home, you watch 3 or 4 hours of TV, you go to bed, get up, wash, rinse, repeat, you do the same thing. If you're new, if this is a year that you're saying, I'm going to really begin to be intentional about taking my life, because it's life by design, people. It's your design. And I'm going to be intentional about taking it where I want it to go. Then start with something that you know you can achieve. Do what I call getting a quick win. And simply begin to change that one habit. The more successful you become, it simply comes as a result of taking more and more bad habits and replacing them with a good habit. Being intentional about it. I'd love to tell you, there's some things you do, for, like they say, for 21 days become a habit. Yes, but I'm going to tell you from experience, some don't. You got to keep plowing at that thing, and you got to work at it. And understand that your environment is key.
Right.
If you're going to keep anything, I mean, environment is key in anything in life. But if your goal is to begin to live a health, it ain't necessarily about losing weight. Losing weight shouldn't be your focus. That's the result of a healthy lifestyle. And if you begin to change and you make your lifestyle more healthy, it's going to be hard to do that if you've got 4 or 5 roommates that's pounding Krispy Kreme donuts every night. You understand what I'm saying? If you got an alcohol problem and your spouse is an alcoholic, it's going to be hard to do that if they bring in handles of liquor in every night. Okay. So, I mean, you got, and I'm using extreme examples. That's the same stuff everybody uses, but I'm doing that to paint you a picture. You know, if your goal is to become financially secure and independent in 2020, you can't hang and run with your same friends that's going to the club running up $1,500 bar tabs every night trying to be somebody on the weekends to get a chick. I mean, and you damn broke to begin with. I mean, I've been around people. We've got people that work for us, and we've met associates of theirs, people that they knew up in Atlanta, a lot of young guys. I mean, they ain't making $100,000 a year. That ain't no money nowadays. And these guys spend $2,000 and $3,000 in a club on the weekend. Well, you're not never going to get nowhere if your goal is to become financially sound, stable, and independent in 2020 if you're running with those type of people. So your environment's important. The people around you is important. And you may need to cut some people out of your life or put some distance in some relationships in this year to achieve what you want to achieve. And what you want, the goal, your resolution, whatever you want to call it, has got to be important enough that you're willing to sacrifice, because success does not come without sacrifice.
Well, I mean, and that's a key point. And that's any area in life. Listen, if you're, and I keep going back to the fitness thing, because that's the number one resolution to health. Listen, if you're going to be healthy, find you some healthy friends. Find you some people that'll go through the journey with you. You know, find somebody that'll hold you accountable. I can't tell you how many times Aaron has called me, our producer has called me and said, how you eating? I mean, that's just the first words. You know, how you eating? And if I've been eating good, I'm going to say, I've been eating good, brother. I've been eating chicken and rice, chicken and rice, chicken and rice, chicken and rice, sweet potatoes, chicken and rice. It's mundane. It's boring, but that's what I've been eating. I've been doing good. Now, if I hesitate to answer that, he knows. If I hesitate, Waffle House. I mean, because you need those people in your life that'll hold you accountable.
Scattered, covered, smothered.
Baby. There you go. And I mean, that's good, you know. And
if you're from the north, you may not know what we're talking about right now.
In moderation, but you got to have those people in your life, you know. And it's the same thing, you know. I know exactly what you're talking about, because we went up to Atlanta with some guys, and it's kind of the old deal: do you want to look rich or do you want to be rich? Because sometimes you're going to have to not necessarily look rich for a while to get there. And it's not a game that you play, but it's a lifestyle. It's where you're headed, and the sacrifices you may have to make, a lot of sacrifices in the short run to get where you want to in the long run. But that accountability is key. And I'll say this too, you know, with whether it's finances or fitness or whatever, I think one thing that where a lot of people mess up is comparing themselves to other people. Listen, if you just started your journey, you know, you're trying to lose weight in this new year, and you just got a new gym membership, you just got back at it. Listen, don't compare yourself to all the meatheads in the gym. Don't compare yourself to all the people that's been there for 6, 7, 8, 9 years. You know, it took them a long time to get where they are, and it may take you a long time. The only person that you should be comparing yourself to is you of yesterday. What are you better today than you were yesterday? Are you a little bit more healthy today than you were yesterday? And if you can compare yourself to that and you come out on top, then good for you. But don't look at everybody else. Listen, you can't look at people and say, well, they're better than me. I'm never going to be like that. They're not better than you. They're just ahead of you. They started sooner. They've been at it longer. Maybe they have a little better genetics. Who knows? But at the end of the day, comparing yourself to other people will steal your joy, rob your results, and ultimately cause you to fail.
A lot of what you see there is not real anyhow. And social media, you
right.
know, being what it is in the fitness craze, you know, Instagram might as well be called Bootygram nowadays. You know, everybody's flashing their rear ends. And I mean, it's just, you got most
it took
of that.
27 times to get that last picture. The one you see posted took 27 attempts.
I'm talking about
50 minutes.
They're posing just right. My wife does a little bit with a few different brands in the modeling deal. And so I've started paying more attention to that. She's a fitness person. And man, the amount of pictures that a lot of these people take and the editing that's done and all that, listen, I mean, you know, it's just be careful with what you indoctrinate yourself with, and understand that for the most part, social media is just a highlight reel. And listen, it should be. I don't believe folks should be putting out a ton of negativity out on social media, and you shouldn't be, you know, putting your business on Facebook and airing your dirty laundry and all that BS that you see all these ridiculously emotionally insecure people doing. But, you know, it should be a highlight reel. You should be showing your best. Why would you want to show anything but your best? But you also got to taper that with understand the hard days. You know, we know about it, the hard days in business, whatever. We're going to post our victories, but who gets on social media and you know, says much about their defeats? And so just keep a balance in your understanding of knowing that, you know, again, comparison is the greatest thief of all joy. So 2020 vision is something you've heard a lot of people say. How many minutes are we in on this podcast? We're so informal. We got a little bit of time. We got a minute, and I'll let John can come back and put a bow on this if he needs to. But, you know, you're hearing a lot of people talk about 2020 vision, and every year there's a theme. You know, it was more in – I'm going to go way back on this one – more in 94. That's the first one I thought about. And, you know, I mean, it's just – you know, great in 2008 or whatever they are. People always come up with something that rhymes and sounds slick and polished for a new year. And you can have 20/20 vision. Vision's important. You know, George Barn, I think I've quoted this on here before, but, you know, vision without perseverance is like a great chapter in an unfinished book, okay? Meaning if you don't put action with your vision, you got to understand you're never going to achieve. We all know those people that always talk about what they could have done, should have done, would have done. Or a lot of times nowadays we know the people that are talking about, you know, what they're going to do or what they are doing, and really they're not doing nothing. I mean, social media's played with it. I was talking to my wife last night about a person that was, you know, it's on social media always. I personally know this person's situation. And I mean, they make themselves look, you know, like the greatest upcoming entrepreneur in the world, but literally never do anything, broke as a joke, can't afford nothing. And it's a shame, I guess, to a certain extent, some people feel fulfilled if they can at least make people believe they are that. But you got to be careful. It's just, you know, everything that looks like sugar is not always the case. Sometimes it's some salt. It's a stack of salt in there. But and having 20/20 vision, listen, that's great. I'm all for all that. If that helps people, if you got your mantras that you can quote, roll with it. But if you don't put action with that in this year, and if you're not, let me even tell you this, if you're not already putting action now, if you wasn't putting action in January 1, you're behind all the 1% that is achieving, or at least the top 4% of the country, the top 4% of earners, you're behind the ball already. So many people, even in our industry, we see folks that'll wait till it's the middle of the month of January before they even get out and start making sales again and get rolling. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. There's no sense in that. You know, Christmas is a holiday. I get it's a season, but I mean, to stretch things out, boy, people allow themselves to get pulled down in these funks and they just procrastinate starting life back, really, to be honest with you. And it's important to get out there and understand that folks that are really achieving, if you're not already achieving now, you're already getting lapped around by people that are already this year, because how you start the year is how you're going to end it. That's the bottom line. And so make sure that you're putting action with that vision. There's a little story that I tell a lot of times, and, you know, basically it'll kind of bring a lot of this into retrospect. But growing up as a kid, we didn't have a whole lot, you know, wasn't rich by any means. But I had a desire as a little kid. My dad had a desire too. He wanted us to have some horses there. Okay. We had just got a little 2-acre piece of land, and my family had just built our first house, 1400 square foot house. You know, it's not a mansion by any means, but it was to us. We'd come out of, you know, in a small apartment. And so we're excited. You got 2 acres, you know, a little piece of country land. It's quiet out there. And so we end up building this house. So we got this whole back lot, this acre, and I wanted a horse. I had a granddad that was kind of like an out west Texas cowboy, and he always rode horses, and we'd get to ride with him some. And so this was a desire. This was something that we wanted. Right next door was a horse that I loved. It was a bay, what they call a bay color, where the mane's black and the hair skin on the horse is brown. I'd walk over there every day. His name was Vandal. I'd get home from school. I'd pet that horse and feed him. I'd take him a carrot or take him an apple or something over there. I wanted one of those so bad. Well, what ended up happening is my dad, even though we couldn't at that time afford to build an entire fence and an entire barn and everything that it would need, because horses are expensive, okay? Just feed one for a little while and you'll figure it out. That alone costs you big time. But we decided, my dad decided that we were going to do whatever we could. We were going to take action. We wasn't going to just sit around, twiddle our thumbs and say, well, one day we'll have enough to do it all. Because key to the story is you can't have a horse if you don't have a pen, if you don't got a barn, if you hadn't made preparation for it. We've talked about before, if you want a baby, you got to build a nursery first. Nobody has a baby and then goes and gets the nursery right. How many times have you ever heard of that happening? It's backwards. If you've got a vision, you got to have provision. And so you got to begin to step out and to make a move. So what we did is we loaded up every Saturday morning with this vision of having a horse, and we'd go to the local hardware store and we would buy a few posts, and we'd come home. You know, back in those days, technology wasn't quite what it is. And nowadays I got all kinds of little gadgets, but you know, we were just basic hammer, you know, lining up the chalk line to make sure it's level, using a level, popping it and going. So we would just do a few posts a day. I mean, if we could afford 4 extra in the budget that week, we'd load up on Saturday, go get it. If we could do 10 the next week, And that's how we began to do it. Well, as we began to do that, people would come by and, you know, people that we knew from the neighborhood or out there in the country, people that we went to church with, and they would see us working. They'd stop by and kind of talk a few minutes, and they'd end up getting out of the car and say, well, let me help you. And what ended up happening out of that is a synergistic effect began to happen. So here we are. We can't afford a horse. We can't afford, you know, even to build a whole pen at one time. But because we began to take action every day, it started inspiring people. And so they start stopping by wanting to help out. And the next thing we know, a guy swings by one day and says, well, if y'all going to start that barn, I own a hardware store and I got windows I can give you. I got hinges, you know, that's left over that we can do over here. Well, what happened is a way began to be made where it looked like there was no way, at least not immediately. And what I remember as a little boy growing up, before long, we had 10, 12 different friends, people. They would come over every Saturday, work for free, you know, and this was a different time. I don't know if people do that nowadays, but work for free. Mom would cook a big lunch. We'd all eat lunch. We'd get back out there and get to work. You know, a lot of times they stay for dinner on set, but we would work all day Saturday with a group of 10 or 12 people that bought into our vision of having a horse. No mandate. We didn't call them. It just became a thing. They knew they was going to go, you know, to the Young House on Cox Steel Road in Adel, Georgia on Saturdays to help, you know, Dale Young and his family build a barn. And what ended up growing out of that is, you know, we had an actual pen and a barn built before we even had a horse. And there's actually pictures of me and my brother where we took our granddad, give us the first saddle before we even had a horse. And we took and strapped a saddle to the fence and we out there spurring the fence and riding, pretending to got a horse and ain't got one, having to look at one across the fence every day. And so it wasn't long though, after we built that pen, that somebody bought us a horse. And then the very horse that I went and petted every day next door, Vandal, is actually from a famous bloodline, three bars, if you know anything about quarter horses. And that very horse, the guy called and said, hey, do you want him? And sold it, hit that horse. So the very horse, the very one that I petted, that I loved, that I thought we never could afford because he's all this high bloodline and all this, this guy sold it to us for way below what it should have been. And my point with y'all and people that have vision is this, what you got to understand is that the thing that is even in your reach now, whatever your vision is, and this is how good God is too. I mean, the very thing that I wanted, that I went and petted every day that I thought I couldn't have, became mine, but it only became mine after I began to take action and create a place for it to dwell. And so what I want to encourage you in, and what you got to understand is if you'll begin to take action, it may be a big dream. We couldn't imagine being able to afford horses, but we ended up with two, which grew into eventually 12. We ended up on a big, large piece of property, total nearly 50 acres, and all these cows and horses and cabins and ponds. And guess what? All them people that helped us build that cabin, they ended up buying horses. They got inspired and ended up owning their own horses and building their own barns. And it became a synergistic effect that took over a whole group of people. We had a riding club, okay? And so it grew into this big deal. So just be encouraged and understand that whatever you want, that thing that you see that you wish you could have, the very thing that you think might be out of your reach that you can see, God's got it in your reach and it's available for you. You've got the vision, but you got to take action to go out and to make it happen. And when you do that, you'll be amazed what it'll grow into. When I first started selling insurance, I didn't realize that it would inspire people that would begin to call my phone and say, hey, we've seen you've been through a lot in life. You've turned things around. You're doing great now. How are you doing it? We want to come be a part of it. That started with one person being inspired has now grown in to, you know, we're well over 100 contracted agents in our companies. And so don't discount the small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. Don't say I'm insignificant. This don't matter. I'll never get there. Understand that if you'll start with little, God can make it much. If you'll just keep going, if you'll keep plowing, and people are watching you, not only will you change your own life, but through you doing what you know to do, being obedient to your purpose in life, to your why, having the courage and being consistent day in and day out, it's going to attract other people, cause a synergistic effect. And people that have what you need that you don't know how you're going to get it will begin to show up, like that guy saying, well, I've got some windows. This guy said, I've got some hinges. This guy said, I've got some wood I'll donate. And all that came by being obedient to your purpose, to your call, moving day in and day out, and the things that you think are out of reach, people's got that waiting, and that's the power of synergistic relationships. This is the compound effect and the snowball effect that will happen in your life when you do the very best you have with what you've been given, which is the message of operating and moving in excellence in your life, doing the very best you have. It's going to inspire other people who have more, and they come and join your vision, and then they bring something key that you need. You have something key that they need, and everything moves up together.
Won't he do it, though?
Won't he do it?
But the key to what you said is action. You know, action creates attraction. People love to see people doing things. You know, one thing you didn't do is talk about, every time I hear you say Vandal, I think of Vanilla Ice. Light up the stage, wax a chump like a candle, something to the extreme, rock the mic like a vandal. Anyway, I got that all wrong. But anyway, it's in my head now. I'll be in my head all day long. But action, it creates attraction. People like to see people doing something, you know, a fence post here, a fence post there. And just sticking with it, because what it does when you put it into universe and you continue to take small steps day in and day out, it's amazing how the law of attraction and the daggum universe and God, whatever you want to say it, it begins to attract all this. You take a magnet. What does a magnet do? It attracts steel to it. But if you don't have a magnet and you take two pieces of metal and you create enough friction over and over and over, enough action and friction over and over, before long it'll magnetize and you got your own magnet that you created by friction or by action. And so that's how this stuff works. Just take a step, do a little bit every single day.
Whatever you release into the universe will attract. Now, I'll put 30 seconds. I know we're probably getting close to running over time. But I seen a younger guy in business last week. You know, he put up a post on social media basically just highlighting how negative a lot of things was in his life and in his business at that moment. You know, and I don't really got enough of a relationship with the guy to speak into his life. And I'm still a firm believer that you can't answer a question that people aren't asking. So I don't go offering my opinion or my coaching everywhere. But, you know, you got what you put out in the universe is what you're going to. If you speak death and despair or listen, even if you are going through a hard negative time, why do you want to release that and verbalize it out into the atmosphere? First off, it's going to hurt your business. It's going to hurt your life. Nobody wants to be a part of something that isn't moving and progressing forward. Nobody wants to be on a sinking ship. Nobody wants to buy your product if they think things ain't going good with your company. It creates a stigma. It creates a bad vibe. It creates something that makes them, even if they keep buying your product, they're watching you harder. They're a little standoffish. Listen, you'll overcome what it is you went through if you'll keep going. There's no need for the world to know about it. You know, it's kind of like the law of secondhand offense. You know, you and your spouse may be having a fight. Well, there's no reason to go back and tell your mom and daddy about it because they love you. It's going to be secondhand offense. And while you and your wife will be kissed and made up an hour later, you know, at Sunday dinner, your parents is still thinking about, you know, how you hurt their youngin' or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with business. There's no need to voice and verbalize. And in your life, not just business, but in your life, every negative thing that goes on, because you're going to attract more of the same when you begin to do that. But if you'll just, like with the horse story, if you'll just be inspirational, even when you're not feeling it, just do what you know to do. Use the tool that's in your hand to the best of your God-given ability. It's going to always grow and flourish. It's going to always, and you might take a few steps back. But this year, with your 2020 vision, have all the 2020 vision you want, but make sure that you're taking that 2020 vision and you timing it times 100% of massive action, because without a vision, you may perish, but a vision's only going to get you so far if you don't pick up and begin to build and act on what your vision is.
That's right, and I'll say this in closing, you know, with New Year's resolutions, with New Year's goals, whatever you want to call them, whatever you do, I will encourage you, even though we're on into January, you may be in March, April, May when you listen to this. It doesn't matter. You don't need a date to start. Start today. You know, it's like you hear all the time. You can either start today, can be one day, or it can be day one. You can say one day I'm going to do this, or you can say day one I'm going to do it. Start and stick to it and do this. Change the routines. The reward is in the routine, or the ruin is in the routine. That's up to you based on your routine. If you want to create good habits, and Justin said this earlier, You don't just create a habit, but you replace a habit. If you've got a bad habit of staying up late watching TV every night, then replace that bad habit of going to the gym late, get on the treadmill, or read a book, or if you want to make more money, learn about money, educate yourself, create some good routines, some good habits, some good rituals to replace some of the bad routines, the bad habits, and the bad rituals in your life, and come up with an action plan. This is the last thing I'll say on it. If you're going to have a goal and you're going to have a resolution, then don't just write down what you're going to do, but write down five steps or five things that you're going to change or that you're going to implement. That's how you're going to do it. You don't just need a destination, but you need to find a map and figure out how you're going to get to that destination. And these little things will give you every opportunity to be in that small, very small percentile of people who actually follow through and carry out all the way through to December 31st.
Make sure you like, subscribe, and share, and we'll see you next time here on Separation Nation.